1 Samuel chapter number 25. We'll begin reading down in verse number 23. We'll read down through verse number 34. The Bible says this, "And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, 'Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he, Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt my Lord, then remember thine handmaid.' And David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee to me, which sent thee this day to meet me.'" I'd like to come back to verse number 23 in the latter part where it says, "And fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground," and speak for a few moments this afternoon on the thought of at the feet of the king. At the feet of the king. Let's open in a word of prayer and then we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the good day that we've had so far. Lord, I pray that you help me as I stand behind this sacred desk, Lord, to preach your message that you've given to me. Lord, I pray that you would help my words, help the words to be your words and not my words. I pray that you would calm my nerves, calm my fears, calm my thoughts, Lord, and help me to be able to speak what you want me to speak. I pray that you would give us a good afternoon this afternoon. I pray for those who are not able to be here. Lord, I pray that you would be with them. Please give us a good afternoon as we get into the Bible. In your precious son's name, amen. To give us some background to this chapter of scripture, we can see in verse number 1 that we see the funeral for Samuel the prophet. We see it very simply and concisely put in verse number 1 where the Bible says, "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah." And that's what we see at the beginning of this chapter, that Samuel has died. They bury him, and David goes into the wilderness of Paran. The reason we see in the following verses that David then encounters some young men out in the wilderness, shearers of sheep. And the Bible says that David sends out 10 young men unto their master named Nabal. I apologize. For some reason, my words are not wanting to mix this afternoon. So pray for me while I'm up here. Sends out 10 young men to go speak with their master, Nabal. And when he sends out these 10 young men, he looks and sends them in request for some food, some water, and for them to be able to stay. Now, when he gets the word back from these young men, then Nabal very simply scoffs at the request of David. You say, why would David send these young men? Well, let's give some background as to what David was doing in the wilderness. Okay, the reason David was requesting this food was because David was simply requesting some compensation for some services that were being rendered. You say, what was David doing out in the field? He was protecting the shearers of the sheep that Nabal had out there in the field. You see, in the area that he was in, it was known that there would be marauders such as the Philistines who would come through, and the Amalekites who lived in the area were constantly plundering from the Israelites. Hence, the attacks by these marauding groups were always a problem in those days. Harvest time was a time when the marauders especially bothered the farmers. Okay, you think about, for an example, we could go over to the book of Judges and look at Gideon, who was threshing wheat on the threshing floor, hiding himself from those in the land. Why? Because he was worried that as he threshed that wheat, that it would be stolen. Okay, so you have David here. David and his men were protecting those who were out there in this field from these marauders that were coming. You say, where do you see this? You can go down, and in verse number 14, the Bible says this. It says, "But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt. Neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them, and when we were in the fields. And they were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep.'" Okay, so you've got David and his young men. They were being a wall of defense for these people out there keeping the sheep. Okay, this being said, David and his men had proven that they were a great help to the Israelites by providing protection against these marauders. They had driven off those who had come up against them. Their protection was so great that the servants of Nabal said, and we just read it, "They were a wall unto us both by night and day." As a response to Nabal's scoffing, of looking back and responding in verse number 10, the Bible says, it records Nabal's response to David's young men. The Bible says, "And Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?' So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings." David's response then turns around in verse number 13, and David calls his men to arms. David says in verse number 13, it says, "David said unto his men, 'Gird ye on every man his sword.' And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff." Okay, so David sees hears the response back from Nabal. David then, in his anger, says, "All right, gird up your swords. We're going to go in and we're going to take what we need, because we have rendered unto them services of protecting the shearers out here, and all we asked for was some food and water." Okay, the Bible then continues that we see Nabal's wife, Abigail, introduced here, that one of the young men came to Abigail and told her what had happened. We already read that through. Okay, and the Bible says here that they came and told her quickly. And so what did she do? The Bible says in verse number 18, It says, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 200 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 500 measures of parched corn and 100 cluster of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me and I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he have requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertaineth to him by the morning, lie any that pisseth against the wall. Then we see our starting text verse here, verse number 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. Okay, you say, why did you go through all of this way of introduction to give us a little bit of a background as to why we jumped in verse number 23? Okay, Abigail comes up to the next king of Israel, and it says that she bowed down and fell at his feet. Okay, if we were to go back and look at some of the history and some background when it comes to bowing, in biblical times, bowing was a method of showing respect, the lesser bowing to the greater. It was a method of demonstrating humility or showing the reluctant acceptance of something without protest. If you were to go over and in certain Asia-type countries, this was a way of salutation, such as shaking hands in Western countries. Bowing is also used to express an attitude of humble submission or respect, or a special honor or respect shown publicly. You say, okay, you're giving us all the background to this. Okay, here's a couple more verses, and then we'll jump right in. You say, this is a lot of background. It is. Okay, the reason why is I want us to understand the importance of Abigail coming to David. Okay, Genesis 18, verses number 2 and 3, you see Abraham bow before the Lord to show respect and reverence. Genesis 23, verse number 7, Abraham bowed to show thankfulness. Genesis 33, verse number 3, you see Jacob bowing to Esau 7 times, undoubtedly to show respect and humility. Genesis 43, verse number 28, the Bible says that the brothers of Joseph bowed before him to honor Joseph as the governor of the land. Okay, all of that to say, when coming into the presence of the king, and Abigail knew she was coming into the presence of the future king at this point, there was a respect and an honor that was to be given. And the Bible says here in verse number 23 that she fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet. So for a few quick moments here this afternoon, we'll look at a few things about the feet of the king. Okay, number one, what I'd like us to see is at the place where she was, it was a hopeful place. Number one, it was a hopeful place. You say, why was it a hopeful place? Well, because David was on a war march. This is why we just went back and looked at the background to this portion that we read. David had looked at his men and said, every man, let's gird up your swords. We're going to battle. David looked at him and he said, why did we stand out here and protect everything that pertaineth to Nabal when he ultimately looked back at us and requited evil for good? And he said, we're going to go in, we're going to wipe everything out. David was on a war march with 400 men. And so this was a hopeful place for Abigail. Why? Because she had prepared some food and some meal for the men and coming out and hoping that she could stay the destruction that was coming. Okay, Abigail came to the feet of David, and we see the respect she has for David by falling at his feet. She immediately starts in verse number 24, and it says, and she fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. She immediately starts with asking David to let the iniquity of Nabal fall upon herself. We can see the hope that she has in this. She came asking to be the one that David target rather than going and continuing on into Nabal's camp. I think about it this way, that so often when we come into the presence of the King of Kings, that we're coming in and we're looking for with hope to see destruction that is stayed. I think about if we were to go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, where the Bible says this in verse number 13, it says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Okay, giving us that example of the King of Kings and making that application for us of saying, look, just as Abigail came unto the future king, we have the opportunity to come and kneel before the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we come into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we understand that it is a hopeful place, because we're coming. And ultimately, I think about it, and I just got the testimony before they had to leave here earlier, and that the young lady who came in for Sunday school this morning, Haley, in youth group, that she came up to me before they had to leave, and she said, Brother Peter, I want you to know I just got saved. Okay, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, that's a hopeful place. That they went in, they walked into to the feet of Jesus and bowed their heads, and they asked for hope. Why? Because there was a destruction that's on the horizon. And they came in and said, hey, this is a hopeful place that I can come to and say, Lord, I need you to help me not be destroyed. Abigail coming to David, no doubt you could feel the urgency in her coming. Why? Because the Bible says that she was in a hurry, that she heard what happened and she went in, she started cooking, she started preparing meal, and she got on the donkey and started riding. And then she came to David and says she fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. And no doubt as soon as she looked up and going, Lord, and my Lord, I pray thee, let this iniquity fall on me. A hopeful place to be able to come to. I think as we are coming in, we another example we can give for a verse saying that this is we have a Lord of Lords, a King of Kings, would be over in Revelation 17, verse number 14, where the Bible says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Why? For he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. We have a king that is greater than all other kings. Abigail was coming, and she made the statement here that she knows that David was to be set up as the next king of Israel. And falling before his feet, looking with some hope. But then not only is it a hopeful place, but number two, we can see that it is a helping place. It is a helping place. You say, why was it a helping place? Because ultimately, when you get down into verse number 32, the Bible says this, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there would not have been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. David accepted Abigail's request here. We see this as a place of helping. Abigail left David and went back to Nabal in verse number 36, knowing that David had hearkened unto her request. If we were to apply this to us today, so often the teenagers have heard me as early as Thursday night when we were going over the doctrine of witnessing. That so often we get done witnessing, we show how you can be saved from the Bible, and then I'll go over to 1 John chapter number 5 and start in verse number 13 where the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you which believe on the name of the Son of God." Who's the Son of God? Jesus. "That ye may know that ye have eternal life." Then it continues on, and the Bible says this, "And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions we desired of him. Okay, knowing this, I think about Haley, who just accepted Christ downstairs. Okay, knowing this, there is a helping in knowing that God heard my request and knowing that I have the petition that I requested of him. Okay, there's a helping to that. You say, why? How many of us have ever heard that when someone gets saved, it feels like a load is lifted off the shoulders? Yeah. How many of us could say, you can sit here today and you don't have to raise your hand, but you can say, yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. There was a helping that was there. A helping that we can find at the feet of the king. A helping that Abigail came in and she looked at David and she said, "I need some help. I need the destruction to be stayed from what was coming." And we see David answer her request here. But not only do we see that it is a hopeful place, not only do we see that it is a helping place, but then number three, we see that it is a healing place. A healing place. You say, how is it healing? Abigail looked at David and she asked for her iniquity to be forgiven. Okay, and we see that in David. Why? Because David looks and he stays the destruction from what is coming. Stays the destruction from what is coming. I think about it this way. David did not hold the iniquity of Nabal to Abigail's account. Much like how God chooses not to remember the sins that were on our account. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 12, the Bible says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." When coming before the King of Kings and asking him for forgiveness and reconciliation, we see the miracle of God in the deliverance. This is what we see in Abigail. She came to David, who was only going to be stayed from his judgment with the guilt being admitted and confessed, and with a heart of humility and repentance. And we see Abigail come to David with that, asking and saying, "Please, would you not do this?" And so often in our hearts and our lives that we come to God and say, "Lord, here's what's going on, and I need some healing from this. Lord, I need you to forgive me of this thought. I need you to forgive me for these actions." And you know what? The Lord, we heard it prayed, that he's the great physician. And so often he heals that on the inside for us, that we're able to continue on and say, "I know that I can keep going." Why? Because I went to the healing place at the feet of the king. I think about there's four things that Abigail received when it comes to the healing. Number one, she received pardon. Okay, verse number 35 here, the Bible says this. It says, "So David received of her hand that which she had brought up and said unto her, 'Go up in peace to thine house. See that I have hearkened unto thy voice and accepted thy person.'" David let her go. Okay, you think that as David is standing there, David is on a war path for Nabal and coming in to wipe out Nabal's land and take what they needed. Okay, if he was going to put that iniquity on Abigail, there ain't no way Abigail's turning around and going back home. Okay, she received pardon. The same way that when we go into to the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we receive pardon. You say, why? Because each of us have iniquity. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have the iniquity. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Okay, there's what we deserve. That's what is sitting there waiting for us because we have that iniquity. Okay? But thanks be to God that things don't end there. That much like Abigail, we receive a pardon. Our pardon is through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, yes, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I imagine as she is leaving, no doubt receiving that pardon and feeling the healing and the help and the hope that she has going home. But then not only does she receive pardon, but she received peace. David said to her, go up in peace. You can imagine the turmoil inside of her as she's coming to see David. We've all been there when we've rushed to go do something and you've got to start speaking quickly. We've all been there. You run up and your heart is there and all your words are coming out and it's like a floodgate. And you're saying, hey, listen, I need some help. I need a blah, 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 blah. Going up in peace and being able to walk away and go, I'm going home knowing that it's not going to be destroyed. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that after receiving our pardon, we get to receive peace? Okay, that's a healing part. Because so often out in this world, there is turmoil, there is strife, there's so much going on in this world, yet to be able to have peace on the inside. To be able to say, it will be okay. We have it through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then she also received a position. You see, later on, the Bible says that she went back and she told Nabal what she had done the next day after he had come down from his partying. The Bible says that he became a stone. And then a short while later, he died. Okay. Later on, the Bible says that David sent and communed with Abigail and took her to him as wife. Okay, the Bible continues on in the New Testament and tells us what position we get to be in after we get saved. The Bible talks about in John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you realize we get a position after we've accepted that pardon from Jesus? We get to be called the sons of God. We get to be called ultimately the bride of Christ and to be able to be joint heirs with Jesus for all of eternity. Okay, we get a position and we get to be restored into that. Okay, but then number four, what she received is she received possessions. Though she had been the wife of a wealthy man, that was nothing compared to being the wife of the king. I think no matter what we have down here on this earth, it is nothing, nothing compared to what we're going to receive up in heaven. Absolutely nothing can compare to it. I heard somebody make the statement before, and I'm sure you all have heard it, that while the job is hard, the benefits are out of this world. And so often looking unto heaven and setting our affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Why? Because when looking towards what we have one day, there's healing that can come from that. Okay, but not only do we see that it was a hopeful place, not only do we see that it was a helping place, not only do we see that it was a healing place, number four, what we see is it's a holy place. It's a holy place. David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. Abigail knew this, and we see this in her speaking to David, where it says in verse number 30, and it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. You see this as the holy place being at the feet of the king. I think about in the Old Testament time, we see, in Moses' time, we see the tabernacle built. The tabernacle had two rooms inside. The one main room was called the sanctuary or the holy place. Then we see the smaller of the rooms being called the holiest of holies or the most holy place. If we were to go over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 6, the Bible says this. It says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. There was a time when the holiest of all was not made manifest. There was a time when one man was allowed once a year into the holiest of holies. You say, Brother Peter, this feels really far off into the far left field. Okay, you say, why do you bring this up? Well, because Abigail fell at the feet of David. She was falling at a holy place. She came to meet the king at a specific place. In the Old Testament, you were in order to meet with God, you had to go to a specific place. They would go into the temple and they would worship God, and that's where they would meet with God. I'm thankful that where we are at in today's day and age, we don't have to go to Granite State Baptist Church, and this is the only place that you can meet with God. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to fall on our face before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and be able to pour out our requests unto him. Fast forwarding to now, we have a tabernacle that is not made with hands. We have an high priest of good things to come. We can come into the holiest of places in the blink of an eye. Why? Because Hebrews 9, verse number 11 says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, Christ being our high priest, our holy one, that we can go to and we can bow before and say, Lord, here we are. We're at the holy place. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? We need to remember that when we come into the feet of the King, it is a holy place. It is a place of reverence, a place of honor. Okay? Then continuing on, number 5, and we're going quick, I promise. Number 5, it is an honoring place. It is an honoring place. Honoring because Abigail knew that David was going to be the next king. Not only was it a holy place for her to be at, but she was showing honor to whom honor is due. We noted in the introduction that bowing before someone is a way to show honor. Abigail was showing honor to the next king of Israel. Romans 13, verse number 7, the Bible says this, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Honor because our king is worthy. When we come before the feet of the King of Kings, we understand that our king, he is worthy. I think about Brother Nate's, one of his favorite verses in the Bible. And honestly, when I was studying this out, I'm sitting there and I've got my headphones on, working on the computer, and I'm sitting there and just over and over thinking about the fact that our God is worthy. Because you go over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 5, and verse number 12, the Bible says this, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The feet of the King is a place of honor. Let us not forget that. Honor unto the King of glory. Why? Because he died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, our God died for us. Why? So that we can live with him for all of eternity. Worthy is our God. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, starting in verse number 15, it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe unto him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. It's an honoring place, being at the feet of the King. I think about if you were to go into the Old Testament and look at the book of Esther and see Esther going in to see the King, that it was not custom for people to just show up and see the King in the Old Testament. Yet we have an opportunity. Why? Because we have a tabernacle not made with hands, and high priest of good things to come, to be able to walk into the holiest of holies in the blink of an eye and to be able to talk to the King of Kings. That being said, it brings us to our last point. Point number 6. It's a hallelujah place. Why? Because destruction was stayed from happening. Abigail could turn around and go back to Nabal's house, knowing that when she was getting back there, that David wasn't on her heels. She could go back and rejoice in knowing that destruction was stayed. That being said, Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28, the Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear them which are able to destroy, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." There is a cause to praise the Lord. Why? Because we won't see destruction as believers. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's praise him who hath forgiven our iniquity and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Why? It's a hallelujah place. I think so often I was taught when I was in Bible college, and I believe we talked about it when we went through it in the teen class, that when it comes to prayer, that in prayer we ought to have a time of praise. Why? Because worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Why? Because he died for us. We wouldn't even have the opportunity to sit and talk to the King of Kings at the feet of the King without that death, that burial, that resurrection. Why? Because he wanted to have a relationship with us. And so knowing that at the feet of the King, it is a hallelujah place. It is a place that we can show some emotion and be able to go praise the Lord. I can come before the throne of God and be able to let my petitions be known. I think about it, and Job made the statement that if he could go in and walk up to the throne of God and let his petitions be known unto God, we do get the opportunity. Now, I understand Job was sitting there saying, "Listen, my distress and what's going on." We have the opportunity to be able to go to the Lord and be able to pour out everything that we have desired to the Lord. The question is, how well do we utilize it? How well do we go and understand that it is a hopeful place? How well do we go and we understand that it is a helping place? How well do we go and we understand it is a healing place? How well do we go and understand that it is a holy place? How well do we understand and go that it is an honoring place? And how well do we understand it's a hallelujah place? A place of praise. To be able to look and go, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." To be able to come out of it and render unto him the honor that is due to him. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. You say, "Brother Peter, you only went to verse 13 earlier." Yes, because the hallelujah there is verse number 14. Bible says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" If you're here today and you've never found yourself at the feet of the King, can I challenge you? You can today. You don't have to go to a special tabernacle out in the wilderness. You don't have to go find the special priest and hope that it's that time of the year that the priest is going into the holiest of holies. We have the opportunity to bow our head and be ushered into the holiest of holies and pray to Almighty God. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. I think about Haley downstairs. Haley getting saved and being ushered into the holiest of holies. Why? To be able to accept that gift of salvation from God Almighty. Understanding that she went in with some hope. That it wasn't just destruction on the horizon. It wasn't just death. Because that's depressing if it's just death. But the gift of God. Challenge here this afternoon. Understand where we're going when it's at the feet of the King. Understand who we're talking to. Abigail knew the person she was talking to was the one who could make a difference. We live in a world today where you can talk to 400 different people and understand that not one of them is going to be able to change a single thing that's going on out in this world. But we have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the worthy Lamb who died for me. Let's take some time and go before the feet of the King.